107 on Wall Street. I'm Charlie Stein. This is Bloomberg on the Money. Frontier Airlines filed for bankruptcy, becoming the fourth U.S. airline to seek court protection in less than a month. Linens and Things, controlled by buyout firm Apollo Management, has hired a restructuring firm to weigh options, including bankruptcy. Joining us on the Bloomberg Business Hotline is Barbara Parlin, partner at Holland & Knight. Barbara, for a number of years now, we've had very few bankruptcies. When would we have to go back to when this business was busy the last time?
I would say the early part of the decade, in the time period when Enron and WorldCom had filed, and there were also a number of airline bankruptcies during that time period. UAL and Northwest filed in 2005, Northwestern, and Delta filed in 2005. But in the early part of the decade, I would say, is the last time we had a big surge, right after the dot-com bubble.
What do bankruptcy attorneys do in the meantime, like in the years when not much is going on?
Well, I mean, it's not that there's nothing going on. It's that a lot of stuff gets done behind the scenes. There's a lot of restructuring work that gets done out of court, especially when there's money available, as there has been over the last few years. The liquidity in the market has been very strong. People have been looking for places to put their money and to figure out different and new opportunities. And I think that there's been a lot of investment that's been done over the last few years that have helped businesses that have been on the margins, if you will, sort of stay out of bankruptcy. I think there's also just been a general fear ever since the amendments to the bankruptcy code that took effect at the end of 2005, the ones that are called BAPSIPA. There's a change to the bankruptcy code at that time that was not as well publicized. At the time, people talked mostly about the changes in the consumer bankruptcy laws, but in fact, there was also a change to the time period during which a debtor in possession can keep exclusivity going, which is the time when it can submit a plan of reorganization exclusively. And so people have to be in and out quicker. So there's been less desire to go in because there's no an uncertainty as to how long it'll take to be in when you're in.
Is it your sense and among your colleagues in the field that we're headed into a period with a lot more activity?
I think we've already seen a lot more activity in the last 6 weeks. And there's, you know, everyone I talk to and all of the press, it just seems like we're heading into another cycle.
One thing, of course, I mean, it's always a little bit different, but always a little bit the same each time around. But how important are the problems in the financial markets, aside from the problems in the real economy here and creating troubles for companies?
Well, as I said, when a business is on the margin but there's a lot of liquidity in the markets, it usually can figure out a way to refinance its way out of a problem. If the credit markets have tightened up, as they have in the last 6 months, there's not as much liquidity, there's not as much ability to finance your way out of a problem. You know, there's two different kinds of bankruptcies. There's a bankruptcy for a business that simply fails because the business model doesn't work. Then there's bankruptcies where a company or an entity, you know, an entity of any kind hits a patch of trouble because of an inability to refinance or some kind of a technical default in one of its financing arrangements, something that can be overcome given sufficient time and ability to negotiate. So for companies now, I think you're seeing a situation where you have both kinds of companies that are going to be filing because there's not that liquidity in the market to support them.
We're talking about bankruptcies, corporate bankruptcies, with Barbara Parlin, partner at Holland & Knight. Barbara, one of the stories we're following here today, of course, is this Linens and Things. It was an LBO. We had a lot of LBOs piled on, a lot of debt, probably in retrospect at the wrong time. Is this going to be kind of a category of types of companies we're going to see potentially be candidates for bankruptcy here?
I think so. I think that it's often the case that after you see a big cycle of leverage buyouts, you often see a big cycle of bankruptcies associated with those leverage buyouts. If the fundamentals of the company are good, then, you know, it'll be able to support the debt. But if the fundamentals are not so good, potentially, and I think that Linens and Things, from what I understand about it, was already facing some difficulties at the time of the buyout. So it's I don't know what the circumstances of its financing are, but I do understand that it was a public company and that it was taken private by Apollo. And it may be that Apollo has determined that the best way to manage it through this is to file a Chapter 11.
But
I understand they have a big balloon payment on their bonds coming due on Tuesday, and that may be a trigger for filing.
About a minute left here, but at the end of each cycle, don't we always wind up with companies who took on a lot of debt just as the cycle was coming to an end? And, of course, if you had a crystal ball, you'd know not to do that. And presumably they're not going to be the only ones in that category.
No, absolutely not. And I think you're going to see, it's pretty easy to pick out who might be a candidate in this kind of environment. With the housing markets down now and people having less of a time, a harder time borrowing against the equity in their houses, or maybe they've already tapped that out through home equity loans in the last few years. You know, the very people who benefited from the big boom in the housing industry and the real estate markets, the companies that service those markets, not just builders, but companies like Home Depot and Lowe's and Linens and Things and Bed and Bath, all those kinds of retailers that are geared towards the home are going to now have difficulty because people are spending less because they don't have it to spend.
Barbara, you mentioned before we took a break, clearly a lot of industries related to housing may be having difficulties this time around. We may see some of them in the bankruptcy courts. Any other industries obvious candidates for restructuring?
Well, the airline industry has been going through it for quite some time, but with jet prices soaring and other disruptions, you may see additional filings. Jet fuel prices soaring, you may see additional filings. Other sectors, might include automotive. That's been going on with Dana and other entities, but there may very well be some more of that as. And in fact, another cycle of it, because one of the things that is happening is that people aren't buying cars, or they're holding on to their existing cars a little bit longer and not entering into new leases. So there's going to be a further depression in the auto sales industry, which will have an effect on anybody who's in the supply chain for that industry. I think you're going to see it. Anybody who's dependent on trucking, things like that, where high fuel prices are cutting into profits. You may see it in the travel industry as people don't end up taking as many trips, things like that. It's the interconnectedness of all of these industries is really remarkable.
One thing that did happen during this cycle of financing is we saw a lot of new financing instruments, a lot of kind of exotic instruments that sort of came into play for the first time. Are you seeing any of that yet in the bankruptcy side? Does it make life any different or more complicated?
Well, I think that there's a fair amount of uncertainty as to how certain types of structures will end up being treated in bankruptcy. There are safe harbor provisions in the bankruptcy code that are designed to prevent counterparties to derivatives trading, securities trading, things like the commodities trading, from getting sucked into a bankruptcy when their counterparty files, permit parties to close out their trades and set off and sort of take their marbles and go home. But a lot of businesses, like, for example, Frontier, in fact, are dependent on those types of trading activities in order to stabilize their businesses. So I think you're going to see a lot of that trading continuing to go on even while a company is in Chapter 11. I know that Frontier filed a motion for permission to continue with its derivatives trading so that it could continue to hedge fuel prices and interest rates.
You mentioned at this outset of the conversation that there had been some changes in that last bankruptcy reform that perhaps didn't get the attention the consumer side did. Is any of it going to have an important impact on the way bankruptcies are handled this time around?
Yeah, I think that the change to the rules on exclusivity and extensions of exclusivity definitely will have an impact. It was very common up until 2005 for companies who were entering Chapter 11 to stay there for years. I remember when Federated and Leslie Fay and the other retailers filed in the 90s, they were in bankruptcy for 4 or 5 years at a time. UAL was in bankruptcy for 4 or 5 years. They the cases went on for much longer. Now, the cases can continue, but the company is not going to be able to maintain its right to be the exclusive party, the only party who can file a plan of reorganization, and that takes away some leverage. So I think that's going to drive people to do a lot more of the work, if they can, pre-filing, a lot more of the negotiations pre-filing, so that they come in a much more sort of negotiated way, and so that they don't have to spend as much time during the case negotiating with the various constituencies.
Barbara, we're going to hold it there. Thank you very much. Barbara Parlin, partner at Holland & Knight, talking about corporate bankruptcies, Frontier filing for bankruptcy. That's an airline.